welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 16 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me. In this episode, I'm going to give you some CCFR updates, like a new contest that we're releasing, as well as a new project that we're launching, very similar to the explainer videos, and an opportunity for you to help us make that happen. But wait, that's not all. This is going to be a crazy long episode full of really awesome content. I've got an interview I did on the Mike Falwell show, which I think went really well. Also, a chat with Scott Carpenter, which turned out very interesting as well. I'll have all of that and more right after this. Hey everybody, it's Rod Giltaka from the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. We get a lot of people in our Facebook group asking about gun laws and regulations, and there's always a wide variety of answers to be had. But what if you had the ability to ask any legal question, whether about guns or not, and have an actual lawyer answer it? You can have a resource like that for $16 a year with the CCFR's Legal Advice Plan. No joke, man, $16 gets you unlimited legal advice over the phone when you need it from a certified, fully qualified lawyer. Don't take a chance by acting on unreliable advice when it comes to the law. You can buy this plan by clicking on the insurance tab at www.firearmrights.ca, and you're helping fund the CCFR at the same time. It's a great way to get solid advice when you need it and join in the fight for your own ability to own and use firearms. Once again, click the insurance tab at firearmrights.ca, and thank you for your support. All right, welcome back, everyone. I have to tell you something. It is hard for me to communicate how much is going on at the CCFR right now. It's borderline ludicrous. In fact, as I run down the updates, there's actually more things going on that are either not complete enough to talk about, or I just don't have the time to cover it than what I'm going to cover now. And what I have to cover now is a pretty huge, pretty long discussion. So I'm going to try to make it quick, but super exciting stuff for gun owners. But it never ceases to amaze me how much we actually accomplish. So anyways, a couple of things. First thing I want to talk about real quick is a CCFR email newsletter. Now, we've been criticized by some of our members. I'm not going to say criticized, but people complain. They're like, hey, you need to send out more newsletters. You need to reach out and contact your members more often. And, you know, it's weird. The CCFR and the whole newsletter thing is a little bit different than, let's say, other organizations, or whether they're gun organizations or not. But we send out newsletters when there's something really, really important to let people know about. We don't send out newsletters with, hey, you've probably seen this in the media. You know, when you look through this issue, you know, and it's all just news stories, cut and pasted, and maybe some opinion stuff. Like some people see value in that. And I don't want to say that there's no value in that, but you know, a firearm organization like the CCFR, is all about what have we done? What have we accomplished? And I think we could do a better job of emailing our members, even if we do a little bit of that stuff. So we're going to try to do that. Gordon and Nathan have taken it upon themselves to, I think this is going to be an FO project to try to get more newsletters out to everybody, out to our members. So if you're not a member, become a member and you'll get this new and improved and very exciting newsletter. So anyway, funny story about the newsletters real quick is 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, I was at the Podcasters charity shoot somewhere around Ottawa, which is where we had our AGM. And I was talking to a fellow named Brian Bolivar. And some of you may know Brian. Brian is a multimillionaire. You'll even see some of his fiat currency floating around. I think they're called Bolivar bucks. That's an inside joke. Anyway, I remember having this chat with Brian like it was yesterday because he was wearing a tactical kilt. So of all things. And so anyway, Brian was talking and he said, you know, it's great to have a newsletter, but you should consider doing a audio newsletter in the form of a podcast to keep your members updated. And I remember saying to him, like, you know, that's a great suggestion. But I wouldn't even know how I would even do something like that because I'd never done it. And I said that I would look into it. And Brian, hey, you know, promise fulfilled. So we've got the podcast, and it's been tremendously successful. So there's thousands of people tuning in every 2 weeks to hear it. So we want to get those numbers bigger. We want to get people involved. We want to get gun owners excited to become advocates for themselves. Anyway, share this podcast, get more people on board, get them excited about standing up for their own rights, right? Because, you know, the fight's coming in the next few weeks from the liberals. So we all got to stand together and really make this work. So anyway, I just want to say thanks to Brian for just a fantastic suggestion that has ended up turning out really great. So anyway, interesting story. Next thing, we got a new contest coming out I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't have a date for it yet, but I can tell you a little bit about it. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get it released so people can buy or enter the contest. And I want to try to get that done a week from today, because I'm recording this on Wednesday. It's coming out tomorrow, which is Thursday. So today for you guys, right? But I'm trying to get it done before I go to Ontario. I don't know if I can achieve that. So, you know, I'm not going to tell you what the date's going to be, but I will tell you about the contest. It is going to be modeled after the very first contest we ever did, which was to date the most successful one. And it's called the Ultimate Choice Gun Giveaway, I think is what it was called. So it'll be the Ultimate Choice Gun Giveaway 2. So if you guys remember that contest, basically it was three packages, ultimate packages. There's a hunting package, there's a tactical package, and there's a precision long range package. And basically each one of these prize packs is worth anywhere from $8,000 to $9,000. So if you win, you get to choose your choice of one of those packages depending on the type of firearm owner you are. So pretty cool. And our friends over at SFRC are going to help us with that. So thank you, Ryan, very much for helping us with this contest. And we are absolutely thrilled to be promoting your store. I know you've just built a brand new store and people should check it out. So you can always find them online at theammosource.com. So that's exciting. That'll be coming up. And I'm hoping to, as I said, get that out before I go to Ontario next Thursday. Next thing, Tracy Wilson was at the Guns and Gangs thing for public safety, some kind of conference or what have you. We were invited directly from public safety to attend. So I think Tracy will be doing a report that will be coming soon for gun owners on that. You know, these types of events, they're not really friendly. Unfortunately, government doesn't want to hear all sides from all stakeholders when they make policy. I am very thankful for public safety for sending us a letter and inviting us. So thank you to the minister's staff there for that. But we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to hearing what Tracy's got to say. I wasn't able to attend personally because I was going to Ontario, basically Toronto and Ottawa anyway. And I didn't want to move that up a whole week to attend that specific event. Next thing, I will be at the following events. I'm doing a roadshow for 11 days. And these are the events that I can actually talk about. So I'll be at the Toronto Sportsman Show on the Friday that the show is going, and possibly a couple of hours on the Saturday. I'd like to actually swing in on Saturday for a lot to meet a lot of people that wouldn't be available on a weekday. So maybe check our website and our Facebook group for my itinerary, because I personally don't know what it is. And so I'll be following up with Tracy tomorrow to find out what that is. But I will be in Ottawa on the Hill later on that week, and seeing what we can do to mitigate the upcoming legislation that the Liberals have coming out in the next few weeks. I will be at a pub night in both the Greater Toronto area and in Ottawa. Those dates will be in a post that maybe Tracy will send out. I'll also be at the TACCOM show at the Firearms Outlet Canada, in Ajax. And I'll be doing a seminar there. So definitely check that out. The TACCOM show is a trade show, almost like a Canadian SHOT Show, except just for tactical and target shooting stuff. So really exciting, very similar to the show we're doing, right? All about target shooting. And apparently there's registrations like crazy. They may even have to stop people at the door and hold them till some people leave. That's the word I'm getting. So if you can, come check it out. There'll be food trucks outside. It'll be a big party. It'll be great. So what else do I have? So I will also be at various other meetings and events that I can't talk about right now, but maybe when I get back, depending on what happens, I'll be able to fill you guys in on some of those things. And all that to say, if you're in the area where I'm at, in any of these places, make sure you come out and have a chat, especially the pub nights. Now, I don't have to drive. So you never know. The later you show up at the pub night, if I'm still there, the worse it probably will be, or there'll be a bunch of unintelligible babbling probably for me. So, but you know, you'll be seeing me at my worst. I'm just kidding. I'm usually pretty well behaved. So make sure you come out, have a handshake, have a quick chat. Love to see you. Now, last thing I will mention is we have a new project happening. I just kind of finalized the last couple of things today for this. Now, this is a project that's similar to the explainer videos. Now, the explainer videos, one thing I'm really happy about is I've seen people using them more often recently. When there's all this debate going online, it's a lot easier for you to just drop a link to the explainer video there and just say, hey, you know what? I don't want to explain this whole thing to you, but check out this video. It's 2 minutes and let me know if there's anything that was said that's inaccurate. And you drop that video in there, man. And people have a really hard time refuting that. And it saves you a lot of effort. I know I've said this a few times, but you know, we made those explainers for a reason and they're going really well. One of our explainers has got like 400,000 views on YouTube. I think I told a story on another podcast about that. It got ugly, but anyway, it got a lot of views. How about that? So this project is, I don't know if you guys have seen these political videos online, and there's an organization in the States called Now This. And there's an organization in Canada that does some similar stuff called North 99, I think they're called. And of course, both places, I mean, they're nuts. You know, it's, talk about fake news. Anyway, just completely insane. They're very left-leaning, but just a real, they omit a lot of accuracy, which of course is very frustrating for me personally. And I know a lot of you guys out there that are debating the whole gun thing is, you know, very frustrating. But nonetheless, the format is very interesting. They're about 1 minute videos and they're captioned and they have, you know, dynamic text popping up to hit the main points of what's being, you know, what's being covered. And they're about 1 minute to 1 minute and 30 seconds. We have a project starting where we're going to be producing about 40 to 80 of these things, on a variety of different topics. So obviously they're going to be firearm related. And what I'm going to do is I recently built a new physical studio here in British Columbia. I've got a teleprompter. I've got all kinds of great tools here. And basically I'm going to be reading essays at about 180 words, which is around 1 minute, 1 minute and 10 seconds. And then they're going to go to an animator who's going to do all that dynamic text. And we are going to be firing these things out. I can do as many of these things as part of my role at the CCFR as I can get the essays. Okay. So if I can amass 100 essays in the next year and a half, we will probably release 100 of those videos. The After Effects animator that I have is very inexpensive, and the CCFR can definitely afford to put out this many of these things, and we are going to flood the internet with them. So I'll give you an example. Let's say one of the ones I wanted to write, I haven't done it yet, but I wanted to write something about, you know, if you think that Australia is a completely effective model for gun control, you know, think about this. And of course, there's just been a story in the news about how the Australian police, I don't know what city or what, I think it was Brisbane, right? They want to get rifles because they claim they're outgunned. I'm like, outgunned? How can you be outgunned? Apparently gun control solved all your gun problems, right? How ridiculous. So what an excellent thing to bring out. And then I also saw a meme floating around with all of the mass shootings that just didn't qualify to be quote unquote mass shootings, right? So if someone wants to, and this is where you guys can help me, you can actually make this project soar, or we can wait for me to write all these things and, you know, I'll get one out a month or two a month. So if you can help me and write 180 word essays on any variety of different gun related topics, I can't guarantee you it's going to be word for word. I'll go through it. I'll make sure it makes good, efficient use of language. I may add something or delete something, but if you can help me, I would love to get that help from you guys. So it can be on firearm registration. It can be on why ban the AR. It can be on, oh, if you think gun control is a good thing, here's 4 questions. I'm just making this stuff up actually as I'm talking. But come up with those and email them to podcast@firearmrights.ca. And remember that domain. somebody told me, and somebody's going to know that, and they're going to take credit for it. But as far as the domain's concerned, it's firearm singular, rights plural. So one firearm, many rights is what Tracy passed on to me as somebody explained it to them. So podcast@firearmrights.ca, send them to me, and I'd really appreciate the help. And I, like I said, if I can amass 100 of these things, I can crank them out pretty quickly because now I'm not having to do all the work myself. So I think it's going to be a really successful project. It's going to have, we're going to have a toolkit that is so massive that everywhere you go to have a debate, and I've been actually on North 99 having debates with these guys, and what a nightmare. Anyway, I've actually tried to do a little bit of that myself. And if we have these things at our disposal, man, we can spread these things all over the place. So really great tools for gun owners. So anyway, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got probably 10 minutes of stuff to talk about, another 10 minutes. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have to save some things for the next podcast. And the reason I can't do it is because I have yet another problem. I have so much content right now that I find really interesting. You guys might find it interesting too. But even for this podcast, that I'm going to have 5 segments in this podcast instead of the usual 3. And I'm going to do this anyway because I can, and that's it. I've got control of this, so I'm doing it. So this will probably be the longest podcast we have ever done. So I'm going to leave this segment off here. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with Scott Carpenter and a whole lot more right after this.
Over the past 25 years, tens of thousands of Canadians have had their firearms taken by no fault of their own through arbitrary reclassifications, paperwork errors, or senseless prohibitions. The government's perfect vision of Canada does not include you or your firearms. Let Canada's politicians and bureaucrats know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms by joining the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, we're back. I'm here with my friend Scott Carpenter from International Shooting Supplies. How's it going, Scott?
I'm doing really well, Rod. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Okay, so we're just going to talk about a couple of things. And I had a couple of things I wanted to actually ask you, having different experience than I do. So the first thing I wanted to chat about real quick was I've been running around like a maniac, talking to media and talking to a lot of different people in our community and online. I even kind of got into it online myself a little bit, which I don't normally do, about the shooting in Florida, obviously, and the renewed call for gun control in Canada for a shooting that happened in another country, obviously, with a completely different set of laws and a different culture and all the rest of that stuff. Now, one of the things the anti-gun side is always, you know, blabbing about, and even some infiltrator gun owners, I'm a gun owner and I don't agree with, you know, with people owning guns, which is kind of a strange position.
Yeah.
But one of the things they always say is, you know, the AR-15, you know, you can't hunt with the AR-15, and I'm not a hunter, and I know full well that you can hunt with an AR-15, you can varmint hunt and whatnot. But from somebody that does hunt and does sell, you know, firearms and talks to hunters all day long, every day, what do you think about hunting with AR-15, Scott?
Well, the same thing that I think about hunting with any firearm. I mean, people don't realize it, but there's been semi-automatic rifles in the hunting industry for a lot longer than you and I have been alive. And people have been using them in a variety of different calibers.
Since the 1800s.
Yeah. If you want to go way, way back, that's actually true. So the difference between, as anyone with an iota of common sense knows, that the difference between the AR-15 and any common hunting rifle in a semi-automatic action is appearance and nothing else. So should the AR-15 be allowed in the hunting arena? I don't see a reason why it shouldn't be. We're using other firearms, like the new BCL 102 that's just come out in 308 is actually an excellent rifle for chasing big game. It's 308 caliber. You know, it's running 150 to 180 grain bullet. It's perfectly suited for animals like deer and moose and elk. I suspect that some of my customers who've purchased the rifles will be using them for just that. Now, crossing the border and looking south, we can see that the AR-15 has been used as a hunting rifle for decades now. I think the main use for it probably over the last decade has been for varminting, because most of the rifles come in a 223 caliber and guys are putting longer, heavier barrels on them and using them for smacking coyotes and wolves and stuff like that south of the 49th. We were down in Texas here about 2 weeks ago at a, at another dealer show, and I had an opportunity to sit down with a lot of different American retailers and some manufacturers and talk about hunting south of the line and in an area of hunting that the AR is really creeping into now is hog hunting. And so it's something we're not real familiar with up here because we don't have a lot of feral hogs, but in the southern U.S., they're a major problem. And keeping hog populations under control in places like Texas has become literally a full-time job for some people. And the AR has become one of the tools of choice for doing it. And so now they're chambering the AR in some interesting calibers like 458 SOCOM and stuff like that. And they're meant to take hogs out because they're tough animals. So getting more and more common every day as a hunting tool. And when you're dealing with feral animals, you want a little bit higher cap mag. You want a semi-auto platform because you're dealing with large groups of critters that have to be dispatched sometimes in a fairly quick fashion. So, yeah.
You know, funny story, since you're talking about hogs. And this is a true story, right? It was actually the first week that I was introduced to firearms. So I don't think I have never told this story. Very few people know it. But anyway, I'd never seen a gun before in my mid-30s. And how I got introduced to firearms was I was working in business development with the U.S. Air Force, the Marine Corps, and the U.S. Navy. And, you know, if you've gone through my Canadian firearm safety course, you know, you've probably heard this story. But I wasn't selling anything interesting. It was just building stuff, right, for the military. I did this for a long time. So the people that you work with in procurement are typically retired military, and they now work in business. And so your liaisons are typically ex-military people or even active military. So anyway, long story short, I was sort of befriended by one of these guys, and he was a retired Marine Corps major. And we were going to do a presentation over at Vandenberg Air Force Base, which is just north of Los Angeles, California, north of Santa Barbara, actually, in a place called Lompoc, California. And it's a very high security base. They launch spy satellites from there as part of the space wing of the U.S. Air Force. So anyway, he's like, we're going to go hog hunting. And this is the guy that actually, you know, I shot a handgun for the first time in my life, which is any gun for the first time in my life, with, you know, a few days before. So now I'm like, yeah, I'm into guns now all of a sudden, right? So off we go to go pig hunting on Vandenberg Air Force Base. So I'm like, pig hunting on the base. So they had pig issues there. So he brings a bolt action rifle and he brings a pistol for me. And, you know, I'd never been hunting. I'm not a hunter. And I haven't been hunting since. And all we ended up doing was sitting up on a ridge and staring at a bunch of brush, and we didn't see anything. And then it started to get dark, and he's like, yeah, we can't hunt anymore. I'm like, what the? Hunting sucks, right? Because all I do is stand there, right?
Yeah, why aren't there bodies on the ground yet?
Yeah, I was like, what is this? And why is everybody doing it? So anyway, I said to him, just out of pure ignorance, I'm like, well, we didn't get to even shoot a gun. And he's like, yeah, well, that's how it goes sometimes. I'm like, well, can we go in and get them? And he goes, well, you can't really go into the bush with a rifle like that. And I said, well, like, can you hunt them with a handgun? You know, a 9mm handgun that he had given me that I was wearing, right? Because now I've got a handgun. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take these pigs on. And he's like, no, man, these things will kill you.
Yes.
Yeah, they run by you. They have razor sharp tusks and they will bleed you to death. They can kill horses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, strike what I just said. I don't want to go into the bush after them with a handgun. But, you know, it was interesting because that was sort of the reality check. Like some of these animals, they run in packs. Mm-hmm. They're highly aggressive.
Yes.
They can, for an animal that's smaller than you are, not by weight, but by stature, mm-hmm. they can actually kill you. Mm-hmm. So a semi-automatic rifle like an AR-15 that's lightweight shoots a small bullet, but a semi-auto with a standard capacity, I only call them high capacity because they're standard capacity magazines, are actually a must for that kind of stuff. There's no better firearm.
Yeah,
hunting,
well, and that's why, you know, why they're building them now in heavier calibers than they did in the past, because they're realizing that the platform is perfect for what they're doing. And what they want now is a heavier bullet for better penetration. I mean, pigs are tough animals. A big boar is a tough animal. You know, we're talking about a critter that is going to weigh somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 500 pounds, depending on the type of pig and how big it gets, right? So you want a standard cap mag, at least, and you want a bullet that can penetrate. And so that's why we're seeing these cartridges like the 458 SOCOM come out on these platforms. They're literally being built for hunters. So,
yeah, isn't that interesting, right? Yeah. So again, here we are confronted with an argument that is totally fallacious. It's fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, it just drives you crazy.
Well, I'm telling you what, I'm going back to Texas to hunt pigs with a 458 SOCOM.
Yeah.
And they offer a variety of ways to do this. But there's so much opportunity right now to go and do this sort of thing and try it out just because their numbers keep increasing. You know, the pigs are an interesting animal because they're not like a deer or an elk where they just breed once a year. They can keep having litters throughout the year. So their numbers, it's almost like they're constantly fighting this rising tide of pigs. Mm-hmm. And they're trying a variety of methods to keep them under control, and one of them is to hunt them with the AR platform. So it seems like an opportunity to me. I'm probably going to give it a try at some stage. Mm-hmm. Just don't tell my wife.
Well, the pig there, and this is what the major told me, is he said they have a pig problem. Mm-hmm. Up at the base. I'm like, a pig problem? And in fact, just out of interest, you know, I was going on these bases for quite a while for work, and I had never even shot a gun before. And the only time I saw guns were the soldiers at the gates would have guns, right? Mm-hmm. And when we went to Vandenberg, they, you know, we reported, you know, we had our meeting or whatever, and we had guns and stuff in the trunk. You know, this was all very foreign to me, right? And then he's like, all right, well, we got to go to the game warden's shack and check in before mm-hmm. we go hunting. I'm like, what? And there was a game warden's station on the base, and it was like this log cabin thing, and you go in and there's like, you know, mounted animals everywhere, and there's like a military game warden with a big map of the base, and he's, yeah, you know, there's some pigs over here, you know, the guys have been having good luck over there. I'm like, what the heck? Yep. And yeah, you check in, you let them know you're on the base hunting pigs while they're launching rockets.
Yeah, no,
you know,
kidding.
And doing exercises and launching planes.
Yeah.
And so we're doing this whole thing, but apparently they're incredibly destructive, and they're trying to get people. And now the last point I wanted to make, or share part of the story, was what Major Paul was telling me was, he said, so if we do shoot it, because I said, what are we going to do with this thing if we shoot it? And he goes, we clean it and we donate it to the food bank.
Yes. This is where everybody gets to win. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that the pigs have gotten so out of control that they are destroying property. I mean, that's the basis for developing the style of hunting, because they are so aggressive in terms of how they breed, right? But it's created a lot of opportunity too. So, you know, there's two sides to this coin, and there is a good side to it. And one of the great sides to it is that you know, that's protein on the hoof right there, my friend, and mm-hmm. that's food for somebody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got guys out there having a good time hunting the pigs, doing what they do best, and in the end, everybody wins because that meat goes back to the people and to people who need it. Which is great.
And the damage caused by pigs is desertification, which is a real word.
I mean, they just destroy
the vegetation.
They tear vegetation apart.
Yeah, all the soil goes away. And
they turn it over, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're extremely aggressive. And for some people, particularly farmers in a lot of portions of the southern U.S., they've become a huge problem. But it's an opportunity for hunters. And the guys who manufacture ARs have created the perfect platform to deal with it. So,
mm-hmm.
yep.
So, and that's real information, folks. Yeah. You know, much to the chagrin of people that live their lives emotionally only. And, you know, that's real information of stuff that's really happening. So, anyway, I thought that was a pretty interesting little discussion that we had impromptu.
Yeah. A lot of people don't see it because it's not in front of their face, but it is real and it's there. And mm-hmm. and we need to stop talking about these things from the perspective of what someone decides to define our need is, and look at things from a rational and fair perspective.
I will not participate with your hate. All right, we're going to take a... that's hate speech. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back for just a couple more minutes with our friend Scott, so stay tuned.
Hunters and sports shooters have a lot more in common than they think. Politicians and bureaucrats will never stop pushing toward their vision of Canada where only the police and the military have firearms. All gun owners need to stand together. An attack on one is an attack on us all. Let these people know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms. Donate now or become a member of the CCFR at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm back here with my friend Scott Carpenter from International Shooting Supplies. And the one thing I wanted to talk about since from the last segment was, you know, there's this divide in our community and everybody is very well aware of it. And the divide is between hunters. And when I say hunters, I'll even further qualify that. People that maybe bring their firearms out for, you know, 3 weeks every year. Then after that, the firearm goes away, gets locked up, disassembled, whatever they do with it. And that's it. That's their whole, you know, and that's their whole involvement with firearms. Then they see the gun debate issue and they see AR-15s and handguns and other Canadians that use firearms in a different manner, maybe for sport shooting or what have you. And then these occasional users or even very avid hunters, sometimes they'll come over and they'll say, well, yeah, obviously, you know, I hunt all the time and you don't need anything else than a bolt action or a lever action or pump action or what have you, hinge or brake action, maybe even. And unfortunately, they're not seeing the big picture. So I just thought I'd get Scott to kind of comment on that.
Well, you know, the one thing that in the firearms industry we've learned over the years is that to make the industry itself viable, you have to cater to everybody. And so when you walk into a gun shop, for the most part, you're going to find something for everyone in every niche of the sport. But there's a deeper message in there, I think. And I think that is that what the other side of the debate really wants is for us to be divided. And when we're divided, we're weak. And I'm speaking as a hunter because I'm more of a hunter than a recreational shooter. I always have. I enjoy firearms in general, don't get me wrong. I'll go down to the range and shoot pistols or ARs with everybody, but it's not really my thing. I'm a bolt action guy. I've always loved bolt guns and I'm a hunter. I've been, you know, to Namibia and South Africa and hunted all over Western Canada. And it's probably what I'll continue to do with my time for as long as I'm on this planet. But people who think that they can turn on their brothers in this industry and say, hey, you're the problem. You're the reason that these antis are attacking us to begin with because your gun's evil, are doing the entire culture a disservice. Because that's exactly what the antis want. They know that if we turn on one another, and they know that if the hunters attack the black gun guys, because, you know, if we could just get rid of those black guns, maybe these anti-gun guys would leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Then you're playing right into their hands. If you stick together and if you stay united, you're stronger. You have more of a voice, and you have more of the ear of the politician because there's more people behind it. So what hunters really need to do is be real careful before they speak out against these sorts of things, because all they're doing in the end is weakening us as a whole. So, and I'm speaking as a hunter. I'm not an AR guy. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really difficult problem for us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just a couple of comments. Number one is, if you are a hunter and this is your disposition, and there are guys out there like that, mm-hmm. right? Because we see them in the media will grab those guys right off the bat.
They pounce on them instantly.
Yeah. And that's even more of a challenge because most people, and I'll say most people, they'd love an opportunity to get on TV, mm-hmm. right? You know, and the media knows that and they play on that, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people are like, yeah, I want to be out front. And it's like, well, for one, once you get out front, you're like, oh, there's no glory here. Yep. But anyway, yep. You know, and so there are people, you know, I think normal people, God bless them, which, you know, most of us are just regular everyday people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all susceptible to that kind of thing. We all want people to pay attention to us. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that the overall strategy is very similar to Australia, mm-hmm. which is what we're going to do is we're going to attack the smaller segment, the people that aren't hunters with the black rifles and the handguns. The hunters will stand back, or maybe they'll grumble a little bit, but they'll stand back because they're not really being affected. Mm-hmm. But once all those are gone, then we're going for more. Because if you look at Australia, they're coming after lever actions. They're coming after pump actions there now. They're always after the next more dangerous gun.
Oh, they've been after pump actions already.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the death by a thousand cuts mm-hmm. method of disassembling the culture itself. And if you let it into your head, if you give them space to live in there, then you've already lost. Mm-hmm. So my message to gun owners in general, to hunters and all gun owners, whether you shoot trap, skeet, whether you're a hunter, whether you just plink with the 22 on the weekends with the kids and shoot little steel targets, whether you're a handgun guy, whether you're an AR guy, no matter what you do, there is one really important thing you got to remember, and that's where we go one, we go all. Mm-hmm. They will not stop until they have them all. And if they tell you otherwise, they're lying to your face.
Yeah, man, don't believe the lies. So
don't.
You know, the reality of our fight overall is handgun shooters and black rifle shooters were the tip of the spear.
You are the tip of the spear.
We are the target that everybody is rallied and pointing at, and everything's pointed at us. And if we fall, it's everybody next. And it's just a long progression. And, you know, I kind of look at things from a long-term perspective. And the way that I look at it is I want my kids to be able to own firearms.
Yes, absolutely.
And that, if by just by virtue of saying that, it's a long game. It's a very long horizon.
You know, our opponents are playing the long game. They have been for decades. Mm-hmm. And we need to do the same thing. We need to look forward into the future. And we need to think about what the world's going to be like for our kids and our grandkids and their kids. If you can't do that, you lost already.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, the last thing I'll throw in is there was a meme floating around, a picture, and I don't know if you saw it or remember it, but it was four guys in a rowboat, and there's two guys up front, and there's a hole. No, it was two guys in the back. There's a hole in the rowboat, and there's water coming in. The two mm-hmm. guys in the back are bailing like crazy, mm-hmm. and then there's two guys up at the front, and the front of the boat is canted up because the boat's sinking, and the two guys at the front are saying, I'm sure glad that the hole isn't in our side of the boat, right? and honestly, I'm going to be honest, right? Just so tolerate it, you know, if this bothers you. But somebody had drawn an arrow and it said hunters.
Yes.
In the two guys going, I'm glad the hole isn't on our side of the boat. And then it was like black rifle shooters.
Yeah.
At the two guys that are bailing. And it really is like that. And so, you know, I don't want anybody to get upset, obviously, because I'm trying to get us to not be divided. But I mean, if that's been your mindset, you know what? Do me and everybody out there, all gun owners, a favor and just rethink it a little bit mm-hmm. and just realize that you're only going to have your guns a little bit longer than us if they take our guns
away.
Right.
So we're in this together. And if you can't see that, yeah. You've lost already.
Absolutely.
So,
all right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up, and I appreciate you helping me out again with the podcast, Scott. It's always great to have you on. And we'll take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hunters and sports shooters have a lot more in common than they think. Politicians and bureaucrats will never stop pushing toward their vision of Canada where only the police and the military have firearms. All gun owners need to stand together. An attack on one is an attack on us all. Let these people know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms. Donate now or become a member of the CCFR at www.firearmrights.ca.
I'm going to play an interview that I did with Mike Falwell on the Mike Falwell Show. And I think he's in Kitchener, Ontario. Yeah, don't quote me on that. But I've been on Mike's show a couple of times. And you know what? This guy is really fair and I really enjoy talking to him. And he promotes this calm, rational conversation that I'm a big fan of and that I think makes a real difference in the world. So I'm going to play this for you. So here we go with Mike Falwell on the Mike Falwell Show.
Well, some companies have begun to distance themselves from the National Rifle Association in the United States. Delta Airlines and United have severed marketing ties with the NRA, suggesting that they would remove the NRA information from the company websites, and discounts for those in the NRA would be discontinued. I wonder if any similar practices are in place here in Canada. Rod Giltaka is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights and joins us for a chat. Rod, it's good to get you back on the show. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Does your coalition in any way support people running for office at any level?
We don't. At this time, the firearm, well, I guess you might call them the quote-unquote lobby in Canada, are very small groups. And certainly we don't donate money to political campaigns in Canada. That's not our mandate.
Is there any surveying done to see which candidates may be warm to changes to firearms laws or to who may be pro-gun, if I can put it that way?
Well, as far as political activity, the last time that we did anything like that was we interviewed the Conservative leadership candidates when they had their leadership race, and we asked specifically firearm-related questions and policy questions, obviously because we're a gun group. And that's about as far as it got, maybe other than, you know, having some face-to-face interviews and putting those up on the internet. That's the extent of the work that we've done.
So in doing that, Rod, in conducting these interviews to get a stance on, get an understanding of where these conservative leadership candidates may have fallen on gun policy, gun issues, what is it that you would like to see?
Well, the purpose of that particular exercise was just to help our membership and help all gun owners understand where those candidates stood on a very important issue. Firearm owners tend to be single issue voters because it's a very important philosophical question, the whole idea of gun control and civilian firearm ownership. And that was the point of that specific exercise.
What did you learn from Andrew Scheer?
Well, I learned that he was pretty much in a middle of the road candidate when it came to firearm issues. I mean, just as a personal comment, I'd like to see a little more, little heavier commitment to do certain things. But yeah, I think he has a reasonable idea and a reasonable understanding of the true, you know, effectiveness of gun control and how it affects everyday Canadians.
So for those everyday Canadians, Rod, that are firearms owners, how onerous is current legislation?
It's incredibly onerous and very intrusive. In fact, our current firearm regime infringes upon the apparent charter rights of Canadians that hold a PAL. And two of those aspects in particular are warrantless searches and daily monitoring, which of course is unconstitutional for anyone else to experience. So guns are very, very tightly controlled in Canada, despite what you might hear.
So those warrantless searches that you mentioned, they can be carried out strictly because the person conducting the search knows that the individual that's being searched has a PAL? Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, it's actually an interesting situation, and I've been challenged on that a couple times, Mike, right? People say, well, no, there's no warrantless searches. It's what they call them are inspections. So basically the CFO of a province can say, you know what, I'm picking Rod. I want to go search his home and find out how he's storing firearms, and I may, by the law, look anywhere a firearm may be reasonably kept. So, of course, if you say you're looking for handguns, you can look in people's bedside tables or wherever. And you know, some people say, well, yeah, but in the legislation, you can refuse an inspection. And then in the legislation, if you read a little further, it says your refusal to allow an inspection is grounds for a warrant. So, of course, it's a warrantless search because you don't need probable cause to believe somebody's committed an offense. So it's quite an interesting system, to say the least.
What would the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights like to see loosened when it comes to gun control legislation in Canada?
Well, Mike, it's a lot because, you know, if I'm going to throw out a number, like 90% of Canada's gun control is aimed squarely at licensed gun owners and has no demonstrable effect on public safety. And what we're trying to do is we're a public relations organization. We're trying to get a conversation, a mature, rational conversation started in Canada about gun control and how to solve our... We don't have a gun problem in Canada, honestly, if you look at it from a statistical perspective.
I agree with that.
Saying, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And the numbers are insanely low. You know, people, you know, and as I've said a lot of times, the same amount of people or a similar amount of people that are murdered with firearms in Canada is the same number of people injured by lightning, right? So it's incredibly rare to be killed with a firearm. And the overwhelming majority, like 96% of those Those crimes are committed by people that are unlicensed. So obviously we can do a better job of deterring people, that criminals, basically, from shooting each other, and stop harassing law-abiding gun owners, because we commit less crime of any type than the general population. We're actually the most trustworthy Canadians, statistically. So I just need to see that laws are being written to address real problems, not window dressing and harassing good people for the sake of the illusion of safety.
So if we agree, Rod, and we just did, that we don't have a gun problem per se in Canada, I mean, I think we should be careful about being too smug, but there's nothing here to even remotely compare to the United States. Why shouldn't we just stay the course? Obviously, something here is working.
Well, something's working, but you know, it's interesting when everybody likes to use the States as an example of what not to do. And they use this concept, and this is actually quite interesting. It's the concept of availability, and that's what everybody's talking about right now. And this is the root of all of the arguments. If you live in a society where guns are more available, you're automatically going to have more gun crime. And of course, the bizarre phenomena that we see in the United States of school shootings that we don't see elsewhere. But the idea of availability, meaning, oh, they have loose gun laws, and thus this is why they have violence, is so easily disproved. And it serves to ignore the real issue. The real issue is socioeconomic status, and there's a cultural component, and there's a lack of opportunity, and there's political polarization. There's a lot of things going on, and the easiest way to explain it is, let's look at Mexico. Guns are banned in Mexico, yet it's one of the most murderous countries. Well, it's the most murderous country on the continent. But yet, in Canada, we can legally own all kinds of firearms. There's guns everywhere, and we don't have that same problem. So what's the difference? There's gun law differences. Guns are banned in Mexico. Well, there's a cultural, socioeconomic difference. So we need to start focusing on the real root causes of gun violence if we genuinely want to be seen, and someone is as virtuous as we'd like to be seen, that wants us to mitigate these problems.
But the availability of guns has got to be a concern. If we had the access to the types of automatic weapons that people have access to in the United States, for example, we can't be so smug as to think we wouldn't run into similar problems here.
Well, interestingly enough, Mike, very few crimes are ever committed in the United States with full autos. Full autos are not a problem in the United States, and they can be legally owned. So we just haven't seen that. What we see, though, is semi-automatic rifles. And unfortunately, there's AR-15s all over Canada, right? We have 50,000 of them. You know, I heard a figure from import records that there's 100,000 of them, and half of them aren't registered because they weren't registered when we got the Firearms Act. And yet we don't see that same phenomenon here. There's a real disconnect between availability of firearms and this strange multiple victim public shooting thing that they have going on in the United States. And I agree with you, it's counterintuitive, but we have to let the data do the talking if we want to be rational and solve our problem, right?
Do you think that we should move? I mean, if you had the means, Rod, through the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, would you be okay with your organization funding political campaigns, the likes of which the NRA does?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because I put a lot of effort into maintaining moral standing in everything that I do, because it's difficult for me to criticize the actions of others if I'm not being morally virtuous myself. I see a lot of different groups funding political organization or political campaigns for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, I think in Canada, our pursuit is to remove regulations that don't have a positive effect on public safety, because it's just pure harassment of people that have done nothing to deserve it. And if it takes, you know, funding politicians or helping their campaigns to get reasonable politicians elected, I don't see how that's immoral in any way, as many organizations do it, including the Coalition for Gun Control, which is an organization that pushes a lot of false information and misleading information, and they're actually funded by the government at some level, and certainly in Quebec they are. So that's a real concern.
Yeah, it's always an interesting conversation. Rod, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Rod Giltaka. He is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. Wanted to check back in. We've had Rod on the show before. In light of these major corporations in the United States severing ties with the National Rifle Association.
It's a fact that licensed gun owners do not represent a disproportionate risk to public safety. Yet, whether it's backdoor gun registries, complex regulations, or unreasonable penalties for paperwork offenses, Canada's anti-gun bureaucrats will never stop trying to eliminate your will or ability to own and use firearms. Take action, take a stand, and join the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights by visiting us at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, and that's about going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. One thing I did want to mention to you guys, that all of the stuff that I talked about in the update are concrete actions that move our community forward. And those are the updates that are in one podcast, you guys. Okay. And the reason we can do this, well, there's a few reasons why, but the most important one is that you guys are supporting this whole thing. We can't do anything without being able to fund this stuff. Okay. So, you know, we've always wanted an organization that can do what the CCFR does in Canada. Well, we got it. We had the right team of people that came together at the right time with the right technology available. A lot of the stuff that we do would have been crazy, even more expensive, right? 10 years ago. So we're able to do all this stuff because you guys are supporting us. That's the whole story. So you want an organization, it's here. If you guys have the resources to throw an extra $20 at the CCFR here and there, twice a year or whatever, that's awesome. Do that, because our fight is coming. There's new legislation coming out in the next few weeks from the Liberal Party. Everybody knows it. We were told about it in advance. That's why I actually started putting together that not explainer video, but the topical videos that we want to shoot up. I've got a whole plan on how to push back against this, and I'm hoping that if we can actually start making it politically inconvenient for people to support this legislation, we can actually have the legislation rewritten before it even comes out. Because that's really when you want to influence these people. They don't like being embarrassed and they don't like backing down. So if you can cause them some problems early before the legislation actually comes out, like the text of it, usually you can have changes made before it even gets out. So that's what we're trying to do. So anything you can do to support the CCFR, please do that. You're supporting yourself at the same time, obviously. And if you are a member and you are supporting us, thank you very much. You are singularly the reason why we can do any of this stuff. So anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. Make sure you share it. Try to get other people to listen to it. It's a great way for us to communicate and to stay enthusiastic about protecting our own rights. Thanks very much for everything, guys. And we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.